Welcome to the daily VFN radio program highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
What's happening in spring, Texas? What's God doing in spring?
God is moving, you know. As I'm listening to this program every day, you play a spot with one of my grandsons, Jamian.
Oh, that's right.
And yes. It brings me to tears every time. So we're praising and worshiping Sunday, and the Holy Spirit falls on this six-year-old child.
Six.
And he starts prophesying. I had him lay hands on some of our
6 years old
people gathering there. Yes, he's laying hands and prophesying. God Six. Moves.
Wow.
On babies, children.
Wow, that is so beautiful. Yeah, I mean, tell the Lord's with us, young man, and he's the one that actually Jamie does a spot on talking about abiding.
Yes,
and we hear him on VFN radio. That's actually Jamie.
Yes, that's Jamie.
Yeah, and he is he's the one that said, you know, and what's your name? And then he just started talking, you know, and he's like, oh, my goodness, you know, subject, verb, agreement and everything. I'm like, oh, he's got all them teachers around him. But it's just, it's so true. It's a genuine, authentic encounter with
encounter.
God.
Yes, it is.
And so he was pacing back and forth, I understand.
He starts pacing back and forth when the Holy Spirit falls on him during our praise and worship time. He'll start pacing back and forth and saying things like, yes, he is Lord. It's Jesus. He's
Hallelujah.
Our God.
That's beautiful, isn't it?
And you can see his mouth moving, but sometimes the music is nice and loud. And
right.
So if you get close, you'll hear what he's actually saying. His mom says he does that sometime if they're at the park. He'll get up on the bench and start doing it.
Well, Jamie, if you're listening this morning, I want to tell you I'm just so proud of you, and we love you. I had a great time when we were in Texas, and Jamie had to pick an animal. Remember, I had to pick an animal. And, of course, we were all giving him a hard time.
Right.
Well, is it an inside animal or is it an outside animal? And we had a wonderful time, didn't we? Oh, man. Yeah, very good food. Well, that was Pat talking about how good the food was over there. Probably didn't hear that, but I was saying it was good food. And so what else is happening? Tell us what's happening in spring. I mean, give us a Texas perspective, the Longhorn perspective over there.
You know, in the state of Texas in spring, I don't know if it's considered the Bible Belt, but there's a lot of believers, a lot of people that will stand for what's right,
right.
In the state of Texas. Did you know we have our own Pledge of Allegiance?
Yes, because Omarion did it.
Yes.
For me. He did it, and he sang the state song.
Yes.
And he did it really well. But I thought, well, that's what we need. I mean, we need that kind of
allegiance.
Vision. Yeah, mm-hmm. Kind of allegiance and a vision for our states and, you know, our direction. I mean, Texas knows their stuff.
They do.
You know?
They do. And Omarion is another one of my grandsons. They're everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. She has lots of children, lots of grandchildren. I mean, Well, you know, so tell us about the times that you've gone out in the streets what did you do? I mean, what was laid on your heart to go out to the homeless and minister to them in Houston?
Well, initially, I felt God pulling me out of traditional church services, which made no sense to my carnal mind. So I finally did what he said, and I said, okay, God, now that I'm not sitting in a church, what is it you want me to do? So I just felt led that he wanted me to start feeding the homeless. So we did exactly what you said the first hour. We got a couple of loaves of bread and some mayonnaise and mustard and some meat and cheese, and we just made about 24 sandwiches, and I didn't even know where to find the homeless in the beginning. So we just rode around downtown Houston, and I found out that and when we did it on Saturdays, we would run into all kinds of ministries doing the same thing. And then I felt led to do it on Sunday,
mm-hmm.
And no one was feeding anybody. So we would have large crowds and feeding the homeless on Sunday mornings, mm-hmm. Because all Christians were in the buildings. And so We started, it started out with just 2 dozen sandwiches.
So you're saying you weren't a Christian?
No. That did sound like that. <It didn't. laughs> All the traditional Christians were sitting in pews.
Right.
And which is nothing wrong with worshiping.
Yeah, I have a good friend that's a pew.
And we started out with just 2 dozen sandwiches and worked into just dozens and dozens of sandwiches and meals. And we did it on a regular, consistent basis. And then we would, on holidays, we would try to collect blankets and give out blankets and distribute whole meals instead of sandwiches. And it was a blessing. We met a lot of people, led a lot to Christ.
Hopefully, we get a lot of those, get some of those pictures up on the blog today, so everybody can see. But you know, that is you know what he tells us to do, and he just in today's word of wisdom. We talked about that. Right. He that is kind to the poor,
right?
You know, lends to God,
yes.
And God will repay him for it,
right?
You know, and well, that's pretty cool. I mean, it's really neat what you're doing. I know you encouraged a lot of people across the whole VFN family to begin to get involved. You know, in their cities and seeing how they can participate, you know, in the same. I want to encourage all of our listeners, you know, I mean, what does it take to go get a loaf of bread and some mayonnaise and meat and some, I didn't mention cheese, but put cheese on it. You know, that'd be good. That's nice. And put them in Ziploc bags, I guess, or little sandwich baggies, yeah. Or something.
And then a bottle of water, some kind of drink.
Yeah. How easy is that? You know, and just start in the name of Jesus,
right.
You know, in the name of Jesus, that, you know, the Lord has called me to be kind to you. And I just want to love on you and give you this in the name of the Lord, you know, and let them know that's what's happened. Because if it wasn't for the Lord, you know, that wouldn't be on our heart necessarily,
right.
Do in that mindset. And imagine that. That's what's going to change America. What's going to change America is going to be when we obey God in that area, one of those areas.
Yes.
Another area we need to obey God, mm-hmm. in. And then all of a sudden, if everybody who professes to be a believer makes a few sandwiches and hits the street, you know what I'm saying? That's a lot. But the problem is, that's when you start finding out, you know, who is and who's professing.
Right.
You know, but think about how simple that is. That's repentance, right? He says, bear fruit in keeping with your repentance. He said, you know, give your coat to somebody, do something, you know. And he says the axe is already laid at the root, which is totally just changes all doctrine, confronts it, don't it? How can the axe be at the root? Because I've already, anyway. So I know that you have a new church plant happening down there in Klein.
Yes,
we're excited about that. This is one thing I want to ask you. I know that, you know, you had all this knowledge and you know, and you all your life you wanted to do something for God as soon as you found him, or he found you.
Found me.
Yeah, and you, by the way, you can get Barbara's testimony.
Yes.
She's one of the ones that are available at meetmyfather.org. We're hoping going to have a picture of her and her dreads soon, you know, there, right?
Don't we have your that? Dreadlocks, yes.
Or her dreadlocks.
Mm-hmm.
Locks. And so...
they weren't Goldilocks.
They weren't Goldilocks. And so... But I want to, you know, tell me about VFN you, because I know that, you know, you have one mindset when you're coming in and how it just kind of shifted things. I mean, talk about VFN you for a moment.
VFN you is a wonderful thing. You definitely would get a different mindset. You'll start seeing things from a biblical perspective. You start seeing everything from a biblical perspective. It changes your life. Once you start changing your mindsets, everything else falls into line. I went through VFNU 2 years ago, mm-hmm. at the beginning, the first session, but it was just the audio. You know, mm-hmm. I didn't have the tangible things that the other students were having then, because I was in Texas and they were,
right.
physically going through it here in Pensacola. Mm-hmm. But then everything went online and I was able to see everything that was going on and read. And it made so much sense. So I'm thankful that I went through it a second time.
It's totally transforming, isn't it?
Totally transforming. It is.
And the first, you know, the first VFNU is a birthing process.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so much more now in VFNU,
right.
because God just unfolded so many different dimensions of what it's like just to be the church. You know, it's,
yes.
not that complicated.
It really isn't.
But it costs you, you know, salvation's free, but it costs you everything.
It does.
You can't just pop in and pop out, you know, in regards to, you know, go do something at the church as if you're not the church. You actually live your life in the context of the church.
Right.
You know, and it's easier when you do that. But then you're confronted when you do that. You're confronted with the fact of like, well, I didn't really want to be the church. I just kind of wanted to go to it. There's some place I could go to. Well, you go to anything.
Yeah. Right.
But we are the building of God, you know, and God's word applies to us.
And why it takes us all so long to understand that, I'm not sure. It's just such a mindset that has to be changed.
Well, I think, you know, it's been taught for so long now, you know, that it's promulgated probably since, you know, if you look all the way from the progressive movement, you know, about 1908, whatever, Woodrow Wilson. And
finally something before my time.
Yeah, right. Just right. Anyway, and they begin to just kind of change the way that we look at things. They begin to change our history. They begin to redo things all the way up until the time when you look at marriage change and the way that, you know, good things happen in regards to people's rights, that happened.
Yeah.
And it wasn't too far away, by the way. You know, a lot of American things, that's way back when. It wasn't way back when.
It wasn't.
And some of your brothers and sisters that are with you today, they've seen or their parents have seen the very things that you think is in history, and they're to be honored and to understand the context of that. And that'll be a future program on VFN Radio. But and it's one thing the church is going to have to get. If there's going to be a third great awakening, we got to understand this. You got to understand this. I know that Rick Joyner prophesied, you know, out of Morningstar Ministries, that the next great awakening would come from the African American people in America because they were held under oppression for a time and a season, and God's going to anoint them to be able to bring the church into revival and into a great awakening. You know, and I'm like, that'd be so cool. You know what I'm saying? I just love that. God's just. God is so just. And quite often the counterfeit shows up before the real deal.
Right.
You know, and don't be disheartened, you know, when you see somebody misrepresenting. Realize that, you know, God can do what he wants to do. And I just pray that word comes to pass, you know. And but you need to really have, you know, empathy is so important. People don't want to hear from you until they actually know that you care. And you can't care unless you understand. And so you have to seek to get understanding. You got to walk in emotionally or mentally in someone else's shoes and understand it didn't just get this way, you know, and there's a process and things that happen. But so VFNU, I know that, you know, what you got from it was just so powerful. You know, days of our flesh, you know,
right.
You know, that's a powerful revelation, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So, by Steve Hill.
Yeah, talk about that.
Days of our flesh. Oh, it was just an awesome teaching. It actually transforming and I'm so thankful that I was able to go through it, you know.
When you think about it, you know, everybody thinks they have forever.
Right. Yeah. And he just named so many of the men and women of God that have gone before us and how they died. By the time they were 50, they were no longer among us. So we don't have as long as we think we have.
I got a book right here in front of me, God's Generals. You know, it was written by Robert Slearden.
Right.
And, 50s, you know,
yes.
Pretty much 50s. A few of them, you know, past that. And it could be the fact, I don't know why that would happen, but I know that if you understand what Steve's talking about and you have that passion and the drive inside of you, because as soon as he realized his days was numbered and he has a limited amount of time, and you got to get that. If you don't realize the question is not, are you going to die?
Yeah.
This is the question. The questions are this, is when will you die? How will you die? And how will you answer for the life that you live? That's it. It's not, will you die? You're going to die. It's appointed once to die. And then the judgment. And if you really get that, you know, you say, okay, now what do I want to do with this limited vapor that James says called life? And he got busy. Yeah, he and Jerry got busy. And that's what we're about, you know, getting busy. It's like, oh my goodness, I don't want to waste. And you don't know if you have tomorrow.
You don't.
You don't know, you know? Yeah, VFNU, this was all about. It's about, listen, giving you God's perspective of that you can do this. You don't know how many days you have left. And you can eliminate tomorrow's regrets today by doing what's right. And not only that, but God's giving you a great reward in this life called family. That you have brothers and sisters in the Lord. spiritual mothers and fathers that live as family. You celebrate. You go through difficult times together, but you have each other. You know, God wanted a family, so he sowed a son, right? He's Father God. Not only is Jesus our Lord, but he's our elder brother. We're like heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're the family of God. Isn't that awesome? And then the church has turned into some institution.
Right.
You know, Charles Simpson says this. He says, we institutionalize our children when they were little in tradition, and they institutionalize us when we're older. You know, and it's really true because they didn't live in the context of family. You sent them to a neurosurgeon and a podiatrist, you know, in ministry concepts where you said, well, I got a children's ministry and we have a women's ministry and a men's ministry. And it's all this breaking the family up. And now, you know, you're getting older and they're thinking, well, we're just going to put you in this institution because I guess that's what you do, right? Because we didn't build any family relationships. So we don't feel that way towards you. And it's very sad. I mean, we see that happen and it's like very, very sad. And so we're called to be family. So our reward is we're working from a place of success, is what you find out through VFNU.
Yes.
That we're not working for success. We're not trying to achieve something that gets us to a place of righteousness. We're already right in God. We're accepted in the family of God. But then also that you do it, you're doing it in the context of a loving family.
Right.
Because I remember, this one guy told me this. He said, you know, it's pretty bad. You know, when you just dread going to work every Monday, you just dread going to work every Monday. And he said, it's really bad when you're the one that it's your company, you know, and so many people in ministry that love God are trying to do it for God in the context of men's traditions who set aside God's way of doing things. And they just dread showing up. It's just one big, you know, and it's difficult and it's all political and it's all just not family. You know, people are maneuvering and all this kind of stuff. It's like, really, you know, really. And then, you know, what we see, we start being the church. It's like, we're excited about coming together. Yeah. You know, you're not dressing up for nothing.
No.
You just kind of come together and just are.
Just be,
you know, and you have to unlearn if the best thing for somebody, you know, entering the kingdom of God. Now what's happening is the people who've never been religious, but it's real difficult for those that have been religious. There's a lot of unlearning to do and to realize what was men's traditions and what is God's commands. They're a big difference, you know? And then from this wonderful environment called family, then you just go out and tell people about this great news that Jesus died for them and now lives for them and wants them in the family, not to be a member of a church. You know, he wants them to be the church. You know, he wants them to have his inheritance. He wants them to have the inheritance of God, right?
Right.
Heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He wants to be a co-laborer with them, you know, not to join the organization. And he wants to walk with them on a daily basis and abide with them.
Yes.
And just share about his heart to them. You know, Proverbs says, if you just want to listen, I just want to share my heart to you. And you to share your heart with him. And then you talk and then, you know, just like Jamie talks about,
right.
You know. And so it's just so different.
Very.
You know, so I want to encourage you that if you personally feel that you're ready to just break loose from religion, you know, not a relationship with God. Now I'm talking about religion, men's traditions and all these different things that have held you back. And if you're using it for an excuse to say, I can't do it because, you know, listen, you're going to be held accountable for that. You answer alone. There's no suspects or witnesses at the throne room. You can't go like, well, so-and-so said. You answer alone. I want to encourage you that, you know, you can go to vfnu.org, vfnu.org. And you can find out, you know, a little bit about VFNU, but also maybe go to vfnfamily.org and see if that is for you. If you're ready to be family, there's one thing that we're missing, even like I talked about earlier with this young man who didn't have family. We have to rediscover family. The nation will change when the family changes. And the family will change when fathers get in their place and mothers get in their place. And the upside downness, it says a rebellious people, it said, this is what the word of God says, not me. A rebellious people, it says women and children rule over it. You have boy leaders. You have boy leaders. And although they're men, they respond like boys. Like, that ain't fair. It's like, really? Really? And so, you know, but when things turn back again, there's order. The father's order comes back into the family again. So I want to encourage you. You want to find out more, you can go to VFNU.org and find out more about the VFN family. You can go to VFNfamily.org. We'll be right back in just a moment. So tell us what else is happening in Texas.
Well, one other thing I wanted to mention about Steve Hill's message, mm-hmm. Days of Our Flesh, he was sharing that, you know, we send our youth to church and they have all kinds of video games and performances and all kinds of things available for the youth. And he was sharing that our youth just need an encounter. That's all they need, an encounter with God. And so when you were talking about Cooper, 7-year-old, and then there's Jamie and 6 years old, and Jaden in Atlanta just turned, he's getting ready to turn 8 years old. These children have had an encounter mm-hmm. through abiding.
Right.
They can abide. They are learning how to abide with God at an early age. All they need is an encounter.
Right.
We have so many problems with our youth, the young people. They just need an encounter.
That's right.
And if they parents or they can go to iabide.org mm-hmm. and learn how to abide, things will change.
That's
things
it.
In the entire household begin to change just by abiding.
It's amazing, isn't it? You know, and many people encountered Jesus. Many people were healed and delivered and received from his ministry. Many people were fed from his ministry. But then some people, even in an encounter, they walked away. But everybody didn't. But you understand, once they've encountered God,
yes.
there's nothing else you can do. That is the epicenter. That is the Mount Everest of experience with our Creator. Once they've encountered the kingdom of God, you know, you can't add to that. If you start trying to add to that and throw in religion, trying to keep people in a place where they said no, the day they do come to their senses, the day that they say, you know, I do want this God I encountered 5 years ago or 2 years ago, you know, I do want him like the prodigal son did. You know, you mess it up when you start trying to be religious on top of that. How can you add to an encounter with God? You can't.
No way.
You just can't add to that. And you don't want to touch it. You don't want to touch those things that God's doing and allow people to go through their processes. And Jesus turned around, you know, when he had, you know, thousands following him and his disciples were there. And he said, you know, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, well, all these guys have encountered God. So it was already a done deal. He said, listen, if you don't believe what I say, at least believe the encounter that you had. Believe the miracles that you're seeing. And they walked away. Some of those guys walked away. You think about it. But, you know, Peter said, you know, when Jesus turned and said, where else can I go? You know, you have the keys to eternal life. And in the progression of Peter's revelation, when he said, who do you say that I am? He says, you're a son of God. And flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father in heaven. You know, Peter was abiding. He was hearing the voice of God. And he heard that who Jesus was. And it was just very exciting, you know, to see that revelation. It says, on this rock, the rock of an abiding relationship with me, with God, that I'm going to build this church. Isn't that something? And if we're away from abiding,
right?
You think about it. If we're away from abiding, then you're not on the rock. You know, he says that those who hear these teachings of mine and don't put them into practice, you know, they're like somebody who builds their house on the sand. When the storm comes, you know, you're going to be washed away.
Because we know the storm is coming.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And then, but those who actually hear these teachings and put them into practice, and you got to have God to empower you to do that. You've got to abide with the Lord to be able to do it. He asks us to do something, Barbara, that we can't even do outside of his empowerment. But he's wide open to empower us. He wants us to go every day and get our daily bread. He wants us to be every moment walking with him and abiding with him. He wants us to be that kind of dependency. It's a relationship. And he empowers us to obey those teachings and walk in them. And he said, that person who does that is like a person who builds their house on a rock. You know, the storms come, the floods come, but the house stands because they built it on a rock. Isn't that awesome?
Awesome.
Oh, my goodness. So I want to encourage you, no matter what age you are, that, you know, we're seeing exactly what you see, you know, what God talks about in his word. And that, you know, everybody's supposed to know the Lord's voice. My sheep know my voice. And one way we can repent as Christians is we can say, you know, I am not going to be satisfied until I can hear the voice of the Lord. And coming soon on VFN TV is going to be, you know, the voice of the Lord, just talking about, you know, hearing God's voice and some of our personal experiences and things that God has said to us and how, because he just speaks it. He created everything that you see, and he's holding everything together. He exists outside of time. And so everything in life, he's speaking. I mean, he even tells us that even in nature itself, in Romans, I believe, chapter 1, he says, when you look at the creation, you can see God's invisible qualities, you know, in that causes men to be without excuse. I mean, just looking at, you know, think about it. Isn't that something? Think about it. And so understand that you're called to a relationship. You're called to have this awesome journey with God. And you don't want to just be Jamie and just be Cooper and Jaden and Barbara and others. You want to be you too. It's for all of us. And so I just want to encourage you. As a matter of fact, we'll be right back in just a moment.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program. Find more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or through the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone. That's VFNTV.com.